This is Rackabix After Hours.
Welcome, everybody, to Rack Addicts After Hours, episode 193, for the second time from the wonderful West End Centre in Aldershot, the home of the Modular Cafe and one of the best venues in the world, of course. And I'm not just saying that because a wonderful sound technician is, yes, making the expressions of, I know I'm amazing. It's great to be here. We've got to get some news done. Hopefully we can hear from some friendly faces who may turn up for the Modular Cafe that's happening soon. Firstly, though, Pete, what have you been doing the past some days?
Oh, some days.
Some days, indeed. I've forgotten.
It hasn't been that many some days since we last met.
Oh my.
Or has it?
Four, five.
Oh, it has. Yeah. I'm confused.
Yeah.
I'm totally confused. Well, I've been getting a lot of my live equipment out and dusting it off and getting it primed to display at the next Modular Caf, which would have been this one, but I haven't had enough time to get it ready, so it's going to be the next one.
And of course, in the last few days, you were doing things. What were they?
I was getting a lot of my live equipment out of its flight cases and having it all arranged and learning how to use the Digitech again.
Ah, yes. I mean, we were sat next to that giant leaning tower when Mark was on with us.
Yes.
Anything from there, evacuating the case?
No, I was going to get rid of one of the AS1s, Pioneers, but I found how they actually work in combination together last night.
I'd totally forgotten they existed because that's that Dave Smith Pioneer collaboration.
Yeah, collaboration with this single Prophet 6 voice.
Yeah, before they got Sequential back as a name.
Yes.
Vintage-ish.
Well, they still sell them.
Mm.
But yes, I have realised I can get them to run in coordination, so I was having quite a good session just last night. And I was very pleased with the outcome. And I thought, if only I could have brought it to the Modular Caf tonight, but I need a bit more time.
Just too many things. How is the Digitact stuff coming back?
Luckily, it was coming back. I tried to demonstrate it to my colleague, Mark, I think just prior.
Yeah, before I turned up.
And it didn't go well.
Ah, just forgotten it all.
Well, no, I just couldn't work out why there was this bleeping noise. And I figured it out last night. It was the metronome.
Oh, right. I'd never even turned mine on.
No, I had accidentally done a shift.
A shift thing.
A shift thing.
Gotcha. Lots of shift things.
But it was just all over everything. I was going, what is that irritating noise? And then it suddenly twigged last night. Yeah. It was the metronome because I don't know what noise it was picking.
Normally assign to a track or something? Or what?
Well, it was not
pick a sample.
Conventional metronome type of click or pulse or anything like that. It was actually seemed to be utilizing something from the sample library.
Odd.
It was just bloody annoying.
But you got there in the end.
Yeah, got things there. I mean, I don't think I've had it out of its flight case in 18 months, maybe longer.
So that's that setup that vintage listeners might remember. It's on a pedal train.
Yes.
And there's that wonderfully named guitar pedal format big mixer by Radial?
Yes.
What's it called? That's got a great name.
You've got me there. Ask me a question and then suddenly I can't remember the name.
Well, I remember looking at it while I was there for that episode with Mark. Yes. I thought, yeah, that's a great name, and then immediately forgot it.
Yes. And I'm terrible with names. I really can't remember it.
Key Largo.
That's it.
That's the one.
I should have remembered the Florida Connection.
Yeah, because it's the keyboard mixer. We love it.
Yes. Rather pricey item, I thought.
Yeah, but I remember you remarking that you could kill a man with it. It's so solid.
It is very solid. It does seem slightly indestructible. It's in a guitar pedal format, so there's got two foot switches. I don't know why you'd want a mixer on the floor. It's got three stereo input channels and it's got one USB channel, so it's got an audio interface built into it. And on the back, it's all XLRs and big quarter inch jacks and everything. It's just
chunky stuff.
Just chunky and robust. You could take it to war.
A synth war. Wonderful.
But yes, and also the prime reason I got it was space saving on the pedal board. Even though
Indeed.
It's the largest pedal board that Pedal Train make.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Did you get the wheeled flight case?
Yes.
Of course you did.
And all the units I've got on there are relatively medium size, I want to say, or most of them are. But when I tried to put a small Behringer mixer, even that was too big. So that's why the Key Largo.
Got it.
So one Digitech, two Pioneer AS1s going into two Source Audio pedals, one being a
Nemesis
delay.
Is that the Nemesis?
Yes, the Nemesis delay.
So and
the
other one, I remembered.
I can't remember the other one, the reverb. Is it the Ventress? I think it's the Ventress.
Ventress dual reverb, is that
yes,
a thing?
Yes, that's the one. That's exactly the one. And also two of the platform stereo compressors.
Who?
Electro Harmonix platform.
Oh, yeah.
So they are, apart from the Universal Audio that's come out recently, one of the few proper stereo and stereo out compressor pedals.
Mm, good stuff.
Yes.
Good stuff indeed.
Yes, and it's sounding great.
Is that for Pete stuff or Rack Addict stuff?
I suppose you've got to call it Rack Addict stuff, really. Mm. So now I've got the combination. I've got these various sets. I've got the Scarabs, which is the modular live stuff.
Yeah.
I've got the pedal board or the pedal train board with that setup. And I've got the Deep Mines.
You're touring Deep Mines.
Yes. And I've got another pedal train pedal board, which I have not populated yet.
Say that five times fast.
I have another pedal train pedal board, which I have not populated yet.
Wonderful. Is there a scheme?
Not yet, but it's going to be something like another small mixer of some sort, not a Key Largo.
Yep.
It's going to be a Dreadbox Typhon going into a Hologram Microcosm and maybe some other bits and pieces.
Little ambient-centric one, if you're microcosming it.
What's becoming very evident, I'm going to have a second or even a third mixer that's separate and aggregates all the various performance
that'll
surfaces
together.
That'll
be quite a rig. But once the studio eventually moves into the lounge and vice versa, you'll have the space.
Well, all this is assembling in the lounge at the moment.
Yeah.
And the other joy is that I can sort of pick and choose. So if I only want a proportion of it, maybe I only want maybe one modular case just to do a little little thing.
You bring that up on the big mixer.
Yes. Or what I'm saying is that I don't have to take all the live equipment out at any one time. It'd be a hell of a lot of us.
You'd need a van.
Well, it's not so much a transport. It's all that setting up. Mm. I mean, for the appropriate...
You can hire a roadie.
Yes, I need roadies. For the appropriate performance, it may require all that equipment or a proportion of it.
Gotcha. Flexible.
Yes, I'm always flexible.
Wonderful. We've got some news stuff, because all I have to report about my week is I've been cycling and getting rained on a lot, which isn't massively pleasant.
Yeah, we've really been having a lot of rain, and more to come.
Oh, brilliant. Can't wait to get soggy in it.
Well, winter had to arrive sometime, didn't it?
Eventually. Right, here's one that's been building up in my list of tabs that I've been meaning to talk about for probably a month. Dreadbox Hades is back, or was back a while ago. You can probably just buy it now. But yes, indeed, a classic for Dreadbox, mono bass synth, this one modernized slightly to fit in with their usual enclosures and such. VCO with two subs, three-pole filter, distortion, a VCA and envelope, LFO, with only a triangle, 11 patch points. Job's a good one. And if I remember rightly, they sound rather large. But it's an option. $309 dues. Why am I on dollars on Toman?
They think you're in America.
Apparently. West End Centre is in America. Who knows?
Was
Who
that
knew?
Not also available as a kit from Thonk?
The Hypnosis is now.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird.
But not the Hades.
It might have been at one point. I don't think it is at the moment.
Well,
£309.
Typically, every time I go to Thonk and look for particular modules or kits, I invariably find they're not in stock.
Tends to be the way. Yeah, so there's the Dreadbox Hypnosis at the moment. Let's see if there's anything else.
And the other thing I want to mention is that the radio music doesn't seem to be a product anymore.
I had a lot of trouble trying to get hold of one when I wanted one, didn't I?
Yeah, you're going to have even more trouble.
It's just never going to turn up.
If you go to Thonk, which I can see you're on.
Yeah, before we go that way, the Dreadbox offering on Thonk is Hypnosis, which is their multi-effect. It was a pedal at one point. Erebus, another classic bass synth with a delay. Dysmetria, which is kind of rhythmic. Hades bass. And Dysphonia, a more of a more modular approach. Lots of patch points on that one.
But did they actually have any stock?
Let's hide out of stock items.
And they all disappear.
Is there a... Oh, there we go. Here we go. Yeah, Hypnosis is the only one there.
Yes.
Anyway, you were saying about radio
music. If you
go
to manufacturers...
Brands. And then music thing.
Yes. Try and find a radio music.
So we've got the new version of Microphony, that cool little 8 fader thing, Control, Easel, Proto, Easel Clock, Turing Machine stuff, Magnetophone, Startup, the Drive ones, Spring Reverb, Panels and PCBs... One more page. Not seeing no radio music.
Yes.
Maybe that means a new version is on the way.
I hope Hopefully. So.
Hopefully.
Or certain components, maybe the tinsies are becoming difficult.
Oh yeah, they well, those and other Raspberry Pi type things were very difficult to find for a portion of the dark times.
Yes. But not even any faceplates or anything else.
Yeah, worrying. I hope it comes back.
I've got two.
You do indeed. Hoarding them.
I should have not sold all the others I had.
Oh yeah. How many did you get? Like 4, 5?
I did one initially for myself, then one for Mark, then I built another 4.
Yep.
And then I built 2 of the, is it cord organ?
Yeah.
Built 2 of it was effectively the same thing, mm-hmm. different stenciling.
Yeah.
And different firmware. So I could convert the cord organ into a radio
Indeed.
Music if I get desperate. And spray yeah. and then spray the
yeah. And draw it on in Sharpie or something.
But I wish they still did the panels. That's the bit I find somewhat irritating.
Well, I hope that's a sign of a new version, not demise.
Well, we know how it goes with certain modules. They disappear forever.
Indeed. While we're on the topic of brands that are wonderful in the DIY world, Bufaco's Effects Boy, which we've mentioned before, there is now a DivKid demo, which you've got to go and listen to. The ToolScorn and Instruo offering were really rather excellent in Ben's jams. €360 for the kit, and you get all of the cartridges. But yeah, go and watch the DivKid video because it's awesome. Here's something mildly interesting. Korg have either released, or it might be released by now, but it was a leak when I added this to my bookmarks. New stage pianos with polyphonic aftertouch and lots of control. They look quite slick. You have 49, 61... Did they do like a full big boy? Is it just 61 as big as they went? Yeah. Called the Key Stage, 49 and 61. $600 for the littler one, $700 for the 61. But more polyphonic aftertouch stuff around. Obviously, this is in conventional keyboard format, not squishy keys or Osmose keys.
Are they just waterfall keybeds, though, essentially?
If we got a front-on angle. Yep, your classic Futar-looking type deal. Who knows who actually makes them, but standard stuff.
Quite expensive, then.
Yeah. So I imagine it's going to be a similar, if not the same, keybed as is in the Hydrosynths, that kind of style.
Okay. Korg traditionally doesn't even do aftertouch.
No, they didn't on the Logs, which everybody hated.
Yeah, I could have definitely done with some aftertouch on my Prolog 16.
Yeah, it's a cool synth, but that is kind of irritating. Anyway, those may be around at some point.
At some point.
Yeah, who knows. It was a B&H leak. They had their webpage up.
While we're waiting to go to the next section, I thought I'd mention that I've had a really reasonable fondle with the Montage M since we last spoke.
Did it arrive?
Well, we had one on display.
Is it like a loan stock or something?
No, yes and no. Basically, we've got one of each.
Right.
But I had a brief look at it when we recorded the last podcast, but I've now had a bit more of an extensive go with it. I don't know, it's very difficult. Intrinsically, it just seems like the last one. I haven't really got into the weeds, so to speak, and really discovered what the M stands for.
It's difficult because it's one of those flagship type keyboards. I imagine it's very easy for a lot of the features to be quite niche, or you can now do so much, which is sort of hard to immediately grasp when you're just sort of hacking around on the thing. But if you want to have huge multi-timbral experiences, it might be amazing for it, but until you use it, might be hard to uncover where it's really better.
The sounds were really good, although there were certain patches that I recognised from my Motif.
Still there.
Yeah, it's the same technique as
Classic formulas.
Roland's, isn't it? Yamaha have been working on their library for, what, should we say 25, 30 years, and they're not going to give it up
yeah.
now, are they? They're just going to try and enhance it and add to it. But, you know, if you've got a big, vast library of classic sounds, a classic sound is a classic sound.
That's true. So, as yet, you haven't found the M factor for this new Montage.
No, I suppose I would have to Google it and get one of those versus kind of questions. Yeah. What's the difference between the Montage and the Montage M?
Yeah.
And
then incremental, I imagine.
Hopefully somebody has gone to the extent of doing a
should you bother?
An AB, so to speak. I've looked at the pricing, and even getting it at the advantageous pricing I could get it for, it's still quite a chunk.
Yeah. You'd have to be really desperate to replace your Motif, you reckon, then?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to have, but I'm not particularly striving towards it, let's put it that
it's
way.
Much less exciting than just a synthesizer.
Yeah, there's way more exciting things that I could be purchasing.
Next item on the news is a module with quite a charming UI. So it has a round LCD display, colour, and I believe, if I can get to the web page, It's a modulation source based on kind of planetary orbit type ideas. So you have this really nice graphic of, you know, spinning blobs.
Spinning blobs. I always like a spinning blob.
Yeah. I mean, it's got, you know, a flavor of sort of Euclidean stuff about it, but you can alter kind of gravity, phase, and mass. So it's got that sort of interaction, but it's a really charming looking thing. But there's actually the video is incredibly well made, a great walkthrough of it on the Unknown Devices channel, because it is the Unknown Devices ASEI, E-I-S-E-I. But yeah, check it out. It's really cool. No idea about pricing or availability, but it looks awesome.
There's quite a few of these sort of astrophysics orientated modules.
Yeah. Well, what was that one, that really cheap one that was the lunar thing with the rhythms?
That was the Pet Rock.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
And that does the moon's phases. But, you know, even previously you had things like Jupiter storms and things like that.
There was the one I've got on my brain, which is now discontinued, it was the PolyGogo graphical oscillator by ERM, where you had the controls and you'd see the shape changing. Can't remember specifically how it worked, but that again had a really cool graphic and it was part oscilloscope, part oscillator. Similarly, another thing that I've got saved is the reverse oscilloscope synthesizer module, which gives you a bunch of glowy sliders so you can draw waveforms and hear them, which is another cool idea.
People are really stretching the bounds of synthesis with some of these modules.
Yeah, so this one is a Mixteller project, R-Scope Mark II synth demo. I don't know if this is going to be a commercial thing. I think it's just a cool idea, interesting way of interacting. I think I've seen somebody do this before, but I can't remember where. Anyway, let's wrap up the news section with some Tip Top Audio and Buchla news, because they're getting pretty big. We have, coming soon, the 207T mixer preamplifier. That's the A to F channel. That is 6-channel mixer with an external preamp, level monitoring stuff in classic fashion. Just go and look at it and you'll see the controls. And more excitingly is the 296T spectral processor, mahoosive unit of spectral shaping wonder and all of those wonderful sounds that I wouldn't even know where to begin with. Kind of, what else have we got? Fraptools, Fumana would be the other big player in this space in the Eurorack world, as far as I know. I think there's a Verbos equivalent too.
I see. I believe this is going to be quite an expensive unit compared to the reasonable pricing of all the others.
Well, it's massive, but for what it is and compared to the Buchla,
of course.
Yeah, so this guy is going to be around about the $700 dues for that guy, which is not that bad for such a huge Eurorack module.
Yes and no, because it's still a chunk.
Of course it is.
I would certainly agree that compared to Buchla, it's a fraction of the cost. I definitely see myself possibly putting together one of these systems.
It is an enticing prospect. For me, if I was going to do the one manufacturer system, I think I'd have to go Bufaco. Do love Bufaco stuff, because you could DIY the whole thing.
Yes, I could see myself having to get happy endings for every unit.
Yeah. So, on Buchla's online store, the 296E, the modern digital equivalent, $3,399. Exactly. So, Tip Top, what an affordable option, as always.
Yes.
I still don't know anybody that's got one, any of the Tip Top stuff. Ooh, does Nigel? I'll have to ask him if he's here.
Most of the people here have gone full Buchla.
By most, actually, yeah, we have two full Buchla people now.
Yes.
Wild. Never expected that when we started it up.
Only sort of easel sort of sizes, really, not if someone's got an E200.
No, the DIY. And there are a few people we haven't seen in person for a while who do also have a lot of banana jack synths as well.
The Tip Top is normal jacks, isn't it?
It is.
But it's still the directional. You've got to plug the right things into the right things.
Not 100% sure about that. Don't know.
Well, if they've kept faithful to the...
like, if they did a Behringer, then yeah, it would be like that. But I don't know. But it certainly has the same colour scheme and little coloured surrounds to make it look a lot like the original.
Okay.
Shall we do a miscellaneous multimedia recommendation?
Shall we not?
But how can we podcast without doing such a thing? We can always.
No problem.
I'm going to go first because I'm passing on a wonderful recommendation from Tim. This is the tune Wait by either Jacob Zetecki, if you're trying to anglicise his Polish name, or possibly Jakub Zyczki. I would never know because I haven't heard him say his own name. So I apologise. This chap is a wonderful, technical, incredible guitarist in sort of the modern metal-y area. And he's got an album out called Remind Me, It's quite recent and it's awesome. Weight is incredibly ambient and incredibly heavy. And overall, it's a very mature composition and it's sublime. No vocals. So if you just like guitar and thick, with two C's, snare drums, it's going to be where it's at. It is in the Rack Addicts After Hours Tunes playlist. tinyurl.com/rackaddicts. I'm just going to have to visit that URL so it stays active. I hope it does. Yeah, there we go. It's on the playlist, among many other things. And yes, we are still free of screaming. It's a screaming-free place.
Nice.
For now. Pete, what have you got for us?
Well, as you're aware, I'm rather partial to a little bit of woodwork.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And I quite often take my inspiration from various YouTube channels. One particular one that I have frequented, if that's the right description.
I think so.
Is by a wonderful lady who I assume her name is Tamar, possibly not, but her channel is called 3x3custom-tamar. That's spelled the number 3, X, the number 3, and custom. All together, no spaces. Mm. And then space hyphen space Tamar, spelled T-A-M-A-R. And there you'll find all sorts of projects that she's embarked on. And I would say it leans heavily into the fine furniture area.
Nice.
It's quite intricate stuff that she creates. And she's very much one of the sort of person that does all the sort of interlocking really interesting joints in different types of wood.
That's so you have that really nice contrast between the little sections.
And also I note while I'm looking at it, it's quite a few guitar constructions.
Indeed.
Not just one, there's several guitar constructions.
Wonderful.
So it looks like she's creating guitars from scratch, electric guitars.
Excellent.
Solid body jobs. Anyway, that is my multimedia recommendation for this week. The YouTube channel 3x3custom-tamar.
Wonderful. Ladles and jelly spoons, thank you so much for joining us in another Modular Cafe Aldershot, and we hope to see you next time. Farewell!